At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I kill a beat with no hesitation. I kill a beat with no hesitation. Only thing I know is hard work, dedication. That boy flows sick and it beat the medication. It's kings at this table, you can't make a reservation. Who you know do it better? Hopping on a flight.
Yo. What's the deal, man? Yo, we back in the building, man. Where we at? Episode 5 and all that? Shot Clock Show, episode 5. We back in the building. You know what I'm saying? You know the voice, you know the hairline by now, man. It's Mari. At Mariano on Twitter, 2 N's, 2 O's. It's the holiday season, so them 2 N's and 2 O's is how I talk to your aunt. You know what I mean? She asked me for money and all that. Holler at me around the new year or something. You know what I'm saying? You know, we probably could figure something out. You know, follow me on Instagram at Mariano Bivens. Just what's going on, my brother? We back in the building, baby. Let them know where they can follow you at and all that. You on mute?
There you go. You know, Just Smith on Instagram is vice versa with underscore at the end, underscore at the front on Twitter. Tell your aunts to leave us alone for holiday season, man.
Yeah, man. It ain't, you know, ain't your time yet, man. That's all. You know what I mean? You still in the rotation. Just, you know, just chill. You know, but in the meantime, man, follow the Barber's Chair Network at the Barber's Chair Net on Twitter. And if you are not a Patreon by now, like we just said, you know, it's the holiday season, man. Yo, buy it for somebody else. You buying Christmas gifts and all that.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself. Buy somebody a Christmas gift. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Go ahead and sign up, man. Whatever tier you want to be a part of, go ahead and do that, man. Do that for somebody in your life. Do it for yourself. You know, do it because it's the right thing to do. You know what I'm saying? But
really,
we back in the building. We had to talk basketball per usual. And this is where I want to start. Yo, you know who was nice?
Let's do it. Who was nice?
Stacey Augmon.
Woo!
Listen to me, man. Listen. Everybody talk about, like, Kyrie finishing at the rim and, you know what I'm saying, I'm finishing at the rim. Stacey Augmon was going to get that and one off, bro. Like, that's a fact. Stacey Augmon was going to the rim, finishing with that strong left. I don't know. We might have been deadlifting with the left. That nigga was finishing some crazy shit around the rim with that left, bro. Like, it didn't matter. It did not matter, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, some fake Jordan kind of hang time on that left. I'm gonna be 100 with you, bro. Listen, like, it was ill.
That whole UNLV team was,
man. Shout out to UNLV forever, bro. They are ill.
Like, I have no clue. Like, the check that nigga Jerry Tarkanian had to cut for them niggas to come there, because that team was out of control.
He probably had to go to a couple dice games and, you know what I'm saying, prove himself. You know what I mean? Real shit, because that team was like that. Like, that team was really like that, man.
Yo,
so I would have been like, talk about it. You got a Fab Five. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Detroit, Michigan born and bred product. You know what I'm saying? And they talk about how they was influenced by UNLV and all that too. So, yeah, shout out to them boys, man. For real.
That shit was like Big State, and he got
game. I'm trying to tell you, bro. I'm trying to tell you, dog. Yeah, nah, shout out to Stacey Augmon, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, shout out to him forever, bro. Like, I love basketball.
That's
so
a
much.
Good one, bro.
Yeah, no,
that's
I love basketball so much because you could just highlight any player like that, like from back in the day that was just ill, that made watching basketball fun on those Sundays, or you know what I'm saying, just whatever, bro. Like, it was just, it's just ill, man. Shout out to Stacey Augmon, man.
Since we on that, you know who was nice?
Tell me.
And we talking about finishing at the rim, Rod Strickland. Stupid nice.
Strick, oh my God, man. You talking about handles. You talking about finishing at the rim. You talking about a pull-up on you too. You know what I'm saying? Like, Strick was him.
It's Kyrie Godfather.
So. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
So if y'all want to know, if y'all don't know what Rod Strickland looked like, the shit that Kyrie doing now, he was doing that shit in the 90s, bro.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, he was out of control. Assist Don, that nigga, he was Don Magazine, just hitting niggas. But above around the rim, man, like it, like shit was crazy, bro. Like it's like between him and Cobb, like I never seen a more like beautiful, graceful game, my nigga. Like when them niggas, when them niggas start making a move, that shit just like they moving in slow motion. Like
it make it look easy. I'm gonna tell you the mark of a great player is when you look at that and think you could do it. When you think you could do it, you like, yeah, you watching a master at work.
I'm gonna come clean, my nigga. I play ball and I still don't think I can do this shit. I'm gonna hold you, my nigga. I'm not doing that.
That's how it be. I'm trying to tell you, man. But yeah, shout out to them, man. Stacey Alden, Rod Strickland, man. Shout out to y'all, man. Legends, you know what I'm saying? But let's get to it. Let's get to it, man. This week in the NBA, you know what I mean? I want to talk about what we like, what we don't like. We're gonna get to, you know, a couple things and all
that.
Before we get to all of that, this wasn't on the rundown. The Chicago Bulls are no longer my concern.
Hold on, everybody. Hold on. Oh man, let me sell my nigga some bread for some drinks, bro. Let me sell this nigga. Yo, fuck that. Now let's talk about it. I've been waiting for this day for so long, bro.
So
and I don't like some G shit, man. If y'all don't know, Mari say, not me, my brother, when we get on this joint, it's for real. Like we family, my nigga. Like I knew this nigga for damn near.
It's probably over a decade.
It's over a decade.
It's mad long, bro. Yeah.
Like, niggas done had kids in front of each other. You know what I'm saying? Like,
100%. Yeah.
Whole lives done changed in front of each other.
Yeah.
And when I tell you, it's one of the most loyal niggas you will ever meet. So,
I appreciate
it. Comes to the Bulls, that nigga was loyal to a fault. And I don't think nobody that's a good nigga like him deserves the treatment that the Bulls give him, bro.
And you know what? And I appreciate you for saying that, my brother, for adding context to this whole thing, because it's, you know, I had the Jordan Jammer rim. I got, you know, laying up with the left at a very early age when I was just a lad and all that. You know what I'm saying? So the Bulls always have a special place in my heart for what Michael Jordan meant to me as a kid and Space Jam and all that good shit.
Right.
They're no longer my concern, bro. You know what I mean? Because it's not because they're losing. I was here in the Keith Bogans era when he was averaging 4.6 points per game. I always say that. I was here with Chris Duhon and shit was there and you know what I'm saying? All that. Even when we had the resurgence and we had Taj Gibson in the bench mob and
he
was looking up. But they're no longer my concern because I don't like what they don't have a direction.
They have no direction, bro.
It's not the OKC Thunder we talking about that has like a couple of young guys and we waiting to see them figure out in front of us. They don't have no direction. They're not interested. And I'm going to tell you a couple of reasons why, because they still selling merch. They still selling season tickets. They still putting asses in seats because it's the Bulls. They living off. They like the Cowboys. They living off what they did when Big and Pac was around.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm cool on all that. I had a preliminary team that I picked, but I'm free agency right now. Nice. I had a team I committed to, but I'm free agent right now. So I'm enjoying free agency. I'm enjoying
that shit just made my day, bro.
I'm enjoying getting wined and dined. I'm enjoying getting wined and dined by these teams, man. You know what I'm saying? While they trying to, you know, pique my interest and shit like that, you know.
I think the Bulls is the perfect example of what destroying rebuild can do in a good manner. You know what I mean? Destroying rebuild is not always good, and not just in terms of sports, just in general. But like when it comes to them niggas, they have to destroy and rebuild, legit.
Yeah. And they've just been destroying and destroying more.
No rebuild. You know what I'm saying? It's no direction, like you said. You know, like even like people got to sit back and really think about this, right? Like when we talk about everybody makes fun. Not necessarily makes fun, but we talk about Sam Presti and the shit he does with OKC.
Yeah.
Stockpiling picks and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you sit here and think about it, and it's like, through all of this, all the trades, all the picks, all the signings that OKC has done, they have barely missed the playoffs.
They hit on their picks, bro. Look at the team they got right now.
They got a good Chet team. Holmgren, on the same team as Shai, Lu Dort, Jalen Williams.
Oh my God.
And Josh Giddey.
Oh my God. Josh Giddey is a fucking.
But even
player,
a young boy, the young boy last night.
Lu Dort is good bread. I like him.
But even a young boy from Kentucky, they got Casey.
Yeah.
Like, them niggas just know how to pick. Trey Mann. That's another thing, too, right? Like, it's another thing to have picks, and then it's another thing to know how to utilize those picks and scout talent.
Yeah.
And I think OKC has found the perfect balance of how to do that. So, you know, in terms of going back to the Bulls, man, it's just the niggas just on the treadmill, to be honest with you. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm mad happy this nigga decided.
And the treadmill not even on. They on the treadmill.
They're not even saying select the cycle.
In the NBA and professional sports period, if you didn't get better, you got worse.
You got worse.
You know what I'm saying? That's all I got to say about them niggas. So Don't ask me questions about this.
I'm happy. Nobody asked him who his team is.
I'm good, man. I don't even want to know. I took him off my Bleacher Report notifications. Nice. You know the Mario Wine and shit? I don't want to know. If they lose it, keep it on the low. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Speaking of the Thunder, Monday, you know, as we're recording this on Thursday, November the 9th, as of Monday, the OKC Thunder, they beat the Hawks. Oh, my God, man. Shea had 38-6. Oh, my goodness, my nigga. Oh, holy shit.
And then
Cat 16-12. Lou Dort 19-9. Yeah, come on, B. Like, look at these young boys, man. This is...
We could fast forward the last night game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because he had 43 last night.
I was just about to say, Monday, he just gave you, you know what I mean, 43? Son, like, come on, B. This kid is...
OKC just gets it, bro. And, you know, and like I said, it's another thing to stockpile picks. It's another thing to even stockpile talent.
Yeah.
But you also have to be able to stockpile talents that can get along.
Yeah, that can play together.
That team just fits no matter who's on the lineup. Like, it's crazy, bro. They have and still have picks to play with. It's going to get very nasty in OKC.
They're going to snag somebody else around.
Absolutely. Somebody's going to go there. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. He had 43, 7, and 6, shooting 15-22. Like, come on, dog. That's efficiency, man. Lou Dort 14-4, Chet 15-7, Josh Giddey 8-5-6. Like, I mean, that, you know, and they beat the Cavs last night as we were recording this. You know what I'm saying? But the Cavs, you know what I mean? Donovan Mitchell 25-5. Evan Mobley 22-5. I like the team that they got over there. They just, you know, OKC is just a different monster right now.
Donovan,
you know,
ain't gonna be here much longer, bro.
Yeah, we all know that's gonna happen. And speaking of the Bulls, I'm gonna tell you right now, man. Shout out to Joey. Shout out to the guys, man. Kevin, all niggas, man. We're talking about Bulls. So I was at work last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see the game. Didn't catch any highlights. None of that. And I was talking to them niggas in the chat, and I said the voice note. I was like, yo, this Pat Williams shit, bro. Like, that experience got to be over. I said, yo, this kid can't even get you 8 points. Now, keep in mind, I didn't see the game. I didn't know nothing happened in the game.
Yeah.
I checked the box score. As soon as I said that to them, he played 21 minutes and had 3 points. And I said, you see? I guess he didn't have 8 points and be right.
I spoke to Kev about that the other day. Kev, shout out Kev Bell. Our big bro.
Shout out to Kev. Love Kev, man.
Yeah, shout out to the lunchroom on IG Live.
Too. Yeah, absolutely.
But we spoke about him. I honestly asked because, to be very honest with you, I have no interest in watching the Bulls game. I'm just going to be very honest with you.
Please don't.
I asked Kev because I know, like you, both of y'all being Bulls fans, y'all also are very unbiased cats in terms of my team. So I asked him, I said, yo, is it Pat or is it Billy? And he was like, honestly, it's a little bit of both. He's like, but Pat is not getting any better either. But I also said, ironically, when we talk about these other teams, I really think Pat is served better in somewhere like Sacramento or OKC.
Yeah. Yeah, where you don't – see, here's the thing about a player like Pat. We need him to be
– Right.
Absolutely. They need him to be exactly what he is right now. If he can give you 9 points, you're going to win that game by 29 points.
Right.
If he give us 9 points, we're going to lose that game by 40.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's – I'm done with the experiment. Not him as a player. If you send him somewhere else and he cook, hey, look what happened to Wendell Carter. Look what happened to Lauri Markkanen. These guys left Chicago and started. Right. Yeah, so I'm saying the experiment in Chicago should be over with because he's not what you would want him to be. Now, if you're talking about Pat Will, the player, send him somewhere else. I guarantee he's gonna cook. But like giving us, you know, I'm talking about us. Look at me. Still feeling like I'm,
It's all right. It's all right, bro.
It's hard to let, man. It's hard. Yeah, I know. It's a process, man.
It's a process.
Them, let me not say us, them, guys. Yeah. Giving them 3 points in 21 minutes, man, should let you know, like, whatever y'all trying to run out there, it's not going to work. You know what I mean? It's over with for that. The Heat beat the Grizzlies 108-102. I mean, you expect the Grizzlies to kind of drop these kind of games. No Ja. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's, you know, he's the leader. He's the anchor for that team.
They're not winning no games till Ja come back.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not really shocked at that. I'm surprised that they was even, you know, really that close, to be honest.
Yeah, fact.
You know, it is what it is. The Bucks beat the Pistons. I'm going to tell you something I don't like. And we're gonna just kind of tie into the next shit, you know, what we like, what we don't like in the NBA this week. I'm not really feeling, like, the early whistles and the ejections and shit like that. Like, Giannis got tossed out.
Oh, man.
For a stare down after a dunk. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that he didn't do a little. He didn't put a little too much on it after whatever. But at a certain point, bro, these are all men. Testosterone is through the roof. They talking shit. They chirping during the game. He caught a dunk on him, and he let him know about it. Let him play ball, bro.
Yo, so the crazy thing is, so when I first saw what happened, when I seen the clip, it was only like one angle. So the first angle, I still don't agree with it regardless. I just want to be very clear on that because it's like, dog, it's sports.
Right.
But basketball is sports.
Right.
It's competitive. It's supposed to be this way.
100%.
Yeah. But at first, I'm like, damn, he probably did stare him down a little bit too long. I watched NBA today, actually, right before we started recording this.
Yeah.
They showed a different angle. He barely looked at that man, bro.
Yeah.
He literally looked away to the crowd and started, you know, doing a teeth grit.
Yeah. And letting the people know, like, yo, you know, it's a home game. Yo, like.
And as much people, you know, it's a catch-22 to all this shit, right? Because it's like, as much people don't want to admit this context that refs follow within the game. And I say that to say, specifically, you got to understand, like, this is not a guy that gets text. You know what I mean? That's for one. Two, he literally does the same shit every game. This is the only way he plays. He does it like every other play.
He has an iconic meme where he's literally staring into the camera, like flexing and all that.
He does it all the time. So if it got to be one or the other, right? It has to be Florida game, what's happening during the game, because it wasn't like it was a game that was out of control to where you needed to do something to make a point. And then you also got to, again, I don't give a fuck what nobody say. There's context with these reps.
Yeah,
they know when players have one tech. So they know for certain players, I'm not going to give him another one.
Yeah, I'm not going to let him get thrown out the game for this. He would have had to go up in his face, point at him, touch him for me to
get crazy.
Man, he would have got silly for me to throw him out the game for that.
It's a lot of shit that goes into that I just totally didn't like yesterday. And it's like, people don't want to admit it, but refs make this shit about themselves all
over. Oh, 1,000%.
And when you talk about going back to fucking Tim Donaghy, you know what I'm saying? And we already know that these niggas have their own agendas.
Yeah.
I won't put nothing past no reps. It's the same way how people treat police.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and they talk to each other. They know, like, yo, bro.
Absolutely.
They like, yo, bro, Giannis balked on me last week. And so his mans, that's the ref that's reffing him tonight, is like, oh, I got you, bro.
Don't I got you back. I absolutely believe that shit be happening, bro.
What's your man? What's your man that every time he played, every time he ref a game that Chris Paul played, like Chris Paul lose?
Oh, don't fucking kill me. And I don't know why I'm forgetting his name right now. But that nigga can't stand.
But you know exactly who I'm. I need to look it up now, cause like I gotta know, cause I'm I don't know why I'm blinking.
Scott Foster.
The fact that we already knew what we was talking about right there lets you know that the ref got too much to do with the game, because he shouldn't be an event. This shouldn't be like WWF where it's like, oh shit, Stone Cold is coming to the ring. It's like, no,
bro. Right.
It shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be that way. I don't like that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. That was whack. That's something I didn't like this week. Lakers and the Rockets. The Rockets put a fucking trouncing on the Lakers, dog. Like, holy shit.
I ain't got no comment on that.
I was about to say, like, I know Bron is your guy. You know what I'm saying? I know you like me. Like, you don't have, like, really a team. Like, you got players that you fuck with. I know Bron is your guy. The thing I do want to say about LeBron is that at this stage in his career, there's no reason why the Lakers should be relying on LeBron the way that they do. Him giving you 18, 6, and 2 at this stage in year 21 is a fucking miracle. It's nothing short of a miracle.
I think,
and y'all niggas lose by fucking, what is it, 34 points? Like, come on.
Yeah, might as well say 40 at this point.
Right.
I think that, you know, it's definitely a gift and a curse to LeBron too, again, because let's even dive into how, you know, the people that don't like LeBron, right? They don't factor in how much, like the way that they kill him for having certain games, but if the Lakers lose, y'all don't realize how, like, the expectation alone should show you how great this nigga impact is on the game.
100%.
The expectations y'all have for a 39-year-old that's in year 20, like, I don't give a fuck who it is. Y'all niggas don't realize that this nigga is coming off averaging damn near 30 last year in his 20th year. And he's going into a new year where he's turning 39 to the point where, like, again, going back to NBA Today, I'm watching today. It shit reminded me. The Lakers literally made a plan coming into the season. It was to manage minutes. Yeah. And we're talking about a fucking 39-year-old who cannot even have limited minutes in this point in his career because he's so dependent on in terms of his team. And it's like, y'all sitting here smoking him for them getting smoked, but it's like, a nigga that's 39 should have no expectations. Like, when fucking Udonis Haslam was 39 and Grant is, did y'all have any expectations for this nigga? No. The nigga was just on the bench telling everybody he can step outside with
him, nigga. You telling niggas, hey, come on now. You know what I'm saying? Leading the league in that.
You do suicides.
Yeah. You know nah, fact, like, see, listen, like, you know what's so crazy, Just? Think about this. LeBron James has spent most of his life in the NBA. Most of it.
More because than he was, half.
Listen, he was 18 when he got drafted. He'd been in the league 21 years. He spent the half. Majority of his existence on this earth in the NBA. And you want that nigga to go out there and give you 40? Guess what? If he gave you 40, y'all would lose by 2 points.
Bro, if I go out there, my nigga, if I'm 40 and I'm as good as that nigga is, when I don't feel like doing something, I'm just not doing it, nigga.
Period. At this point, he should be a lot of DNP coaches. It should be DNP players' decision at this point. It should be DNP. I ain't feel like it. DNP. I was up too late with wifey last night watching my 600-pound life or whatever the
that
fuck.
Ass, nigga. Nigga, I
don't want to play.
Nigga, like you know I was watching saying? How I was watching God Fieri.
Yeah, like fuck all that
nigga.
Shit.
I don't feel like turning up right now. Like nigga can't even question that. So the fact that people still like. Have these ridiculous expectations on him. Like, bro, it's on the rest of that team, my nigga. Like, that nigga should not be averaging 28 points. It's just
no way.
He shouldn't be averaging 21.
It's the no fucking way, bro.
He's 39, and it's like, again, y'all got to remember, like, he didn't start getting a jump shot to the latter half of his career.
Yeah, because he had to. He was like, you know what, fuck it. All right, niggas going to keep on playing me for that. Let me pull up, So
you talk about, like, what, like 8 years in a row where this nigga go to the finals? Half of that, he went to the Olympics. All of that while being a player who's a primary driver.
Yeah.
That shit is physically taxing. So really, you might want to say his 21 years is like 24. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's because, a fact.
Like, niggas don't realize, like, playing.
More than that, really, because he played Olympic ball, playoffs, all that like, shit. So, yeah.
You count the Olympics, you count. Going deep into the playoffs every year to the finals.
If you added up all the extra games he played outside the regular season, I'm sure you could probably get six more seasons out of that shit, bro. Like, easily talk. Like, easily. You know what I'm saying? Training his sons and shit. Like, that nigga, he is basketball, bro.
The playoffs alone, that nigga is somebody else's career. You feel what I'm saying?
1,000%. 1,000%.
It's niggas who look like, bro, I'm looking, yo, it's crazy. I don't know why the fuck they hired Austin Rivers, but whatever. But Austin Rivers is now an NBA analyst. And I see this shit say he was like a 10-year veteran. I'm like, yo, this nigga couldn't make it to year 10, bro. Like, and again, everybody can't be LeBron. And just like everybody can't be KD. Yeah. Everybody can't be fucking
and niggas need to niggas need to recognize and respect that too.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, they won't because we in an era where, you know, it's shock value.
Yeah,
it's a good thing to go against the grain.
100%. It's a good thing to be negative. It don't matter about like if a nigga averaged 10 and 9. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, that nigga trash, and it's like, damn, my nigga, do you watch the game? Like, or you just looking at the
numbers because
go off? Like, damn,
because it's like yo, it's crazy, right? Like Joe, I hit Joe the other day, right? And I sent him a joint, like, and he even fucked my head up. It was a game the other day. Jordan Clarkson shot horrible, like 5 for 21 or some shit.
Yeah.
But he also had like 20 something points. So that goes to show you, right? Like, if you didn't watch the game, what is your assumption? Because my assumption is this nigga probably honestly just couldn't hit a shot.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's a difference. Right. It's a difference between niggas being off and it's a difference between the nigga just taking bad shots and just playing like shit. But you can have open shots and it's just not be your day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of context. I'm not going to say that goes unnoticed, but goes unmentioned. Yeah. You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
Niggas refuse to do so.
They leave it out on purpose, but like they're being purposely like obtuse about it, like to get engagements and shit. And if you look right down, right on your screen, the average career length in the NBA is 4.5 seasons. You got to think, but think about it though, bro. Think about it. There's a lot of things that goes into playing in the NBA other than just talent. It's a lot of politics involved. It's a lot of, you know, are you with the right team type of shit?
Hell yeah.
Four and a half years, bro. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? But four and a half years, bro.
Facts.
Imagine you get drafted on the plus side of it, you get drafted when you 19, 20. That means your career is going to go into your mid-20s, and then you got to figure out something else for the rest of your life.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So, like, looking at LeBron, he's in year 21. Like, this is his life, bro. He done did the average NBA career five times. Like, five, I mean, like, what we...
Damn near.
Yeah, like, what are we talking about?
That's tough.
Look, the Nuggets and the Warriors played.
Uh-huh.
Close-ass game, bro. You know what I mean? Shout out to the Warriors because, like, that team is not supposed to be competing with fucking juggernaut, bro. Shout out to them.
And you know what, bro? Like, it's still early for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
But when I'm sitting here really looking at Denver, and it's like, bro, like, you know, regardless, Golden State is still Golden State. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
But the fact of, like, I truly felt Denver lost death.
Yeah,
that shit last night, that Reggie Jackson just came off the bench and got busy like that.
Bro.
These niggas are just still clicking like Jamal is
still,
there.
They,
at this point, I'm going to be very honest.
Yeah, he's going to be out for a minute too, which is going to be
out for a month. You know what I mean? Yeah. But that month, they're going to be fine. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't give a fuck about Phoenix.
I'm good on Phoenix.
Denver is truly, in all honesty, so far, the team to beat.
100%.
West in the league.
In the league. Fuck them. Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't know. Like, it's just something you can't do with them niggas. And I'm also going to say this too, right? I text mad niggas this the other day. I tweeted it out the other day if anybody want to see it. And I said this because this is actually going to go into what I don't like for me this week. Philly never needed Harden. Simple.
Yeah.
Never needed him.
I'm with you on that.
I also tweeted this the other day because people' favorite word is, oh, when a trade happened, oh, these niggas fleeced them niggas. Okay. Philly ain't lose yet. Clippers already lost back-to-backs with this nigga. Tyrese Maxey's a fucking superstar. They got more depth. The other day, fucking Nick Batum, I think the first half he shot 100%.
Yeah.
Robert Covington, more depth. The Morris twin, more depth. Picks to make swaps. Are we fucking serious right now? What are we talking about? Like, y'all niggas just got to stop chatting when trades happen because names get exchanged. And look at the fucking game of basketball, bro. Because I'm watching this shit. Even with Harden, there was no need for that nigga to be there. That
none, 20, bro.
Like, this is the shit that Mario was talking about a few minutes ago too, right? You see a nigga have 10 and 9. It's all such and such. What did that 10 and 9 do for the team, though? You feel what I'm saying? So that goes back to Harden. He averaged 20 and 10. So fucking what?
So what?
How many games were we talking about him stinking?
Because Carlos Boozer did the same thing in Chicago, and he was out there 20 points, 12 rebounds, and niggas was losing, bro. Niggas don't give a fuck, bro.
Context is everything.
You have to watch. Listen, as much as analytics, listen, I always say this about advanced stats and analytics and shit like that. It always shows me what I missed when I was watching the game. And that's not a slight to analytics.
I
like it because it shows me, it adds context to what I saw. But you cannot survive off just analytics. You can look at the eye test and say, yeah, that dude is making a difference. I don't give a fuck even if he didn't get a steal on his possession. He caused the steal. He disrupted something and caused the turnover. That's not going to show up in the advanced analytics. That's going to show you when you watch the game. Like,
I also what are we doing? I think analytics makes sense. I don't want people to make sense.
Absolutely.
But this is my two problems with analytics. My first problem is that the niggas who go by analytics don't watch basketball.
Right.
And not
they
the
only
people
watch
who
the numbers.
It, not the people who created it. The people who always want to, he was a plus this and a minus that.
Did you watch
don't
the game,
watch
sir?
Basketball.
Ma'am, did you watch the game?
Did you watch the game?
Okay.
No.
Well, then let's not have
Secondly,
this conversation.
My other thing with analytics, and this is just my opinion on analytics, I feel like analytics is something that should have been created internally, meaning that I think that that's something that teams should only use and should never put out. And it should only be amongst the players in terms of showing their productivity,
And it shouldn't be the end all.
And it shouldn't be the end. Like, niggas be like, he's a minus such a... Okay, I get it. It's the same. Like I said the other day, bro, like, was he taking bad shots? Or did he just miss? Because the analytics didn't show you that.
Right. That, I'm so glad you said that.
You feel what
I'm
saying?
So glad you said that.
So when we talk about analytics, yeah, it's cool, but it has to be used, again, in the right context. Yeah. And you have to expand on it and be able to elaborate as to how it makes sense. Yeah. It's not there to be a measuring stick of saying this nigga had a bad game.
Yeah.
Because it's niggas I truly think that have, you know, numbers-wise, good games. But when you sit there and look at the film in terms of flow of the game, rhythm, getting others yeah. involved, niggas played terrible. Niggas just was having a selfish game and was hot.
Right.
So it's a lot of ways that we could flip the switch on that. You feel what I'm saying?
Numbers lie a lot, man. Numbers lie a lot. But these numbers don't. Jokic, 35, 13, and 5. Michael Porter Jr., 17, 8, and 2.
Man.
KCP, man. Oh, man, 10, 3, and 3. Like, listen, Aaron Gordon, 14, 11, and 3. Reggie Jackson, he had 22 and 6. Like, come on, dog. Bro. You get that type of production out of niggas. I don't care what the analytics says. If I only saw this game, if I watched this game with my own eyes, I don't care about who was a plus or a minus or whatever. Like, that's cool because sometimes dudes can be a plus.
Yeah.
But it's only because, like, all right, you was right there. You caught this rebound. You did this, whatever. But you might not have really made an impact on the game, but your numbers say you was a plus.
And that, but that's also why I say that they're the team to beat, right? Because that's a championship team.
Yeah.
Like, Jamal Murray is a fucking badass motherfucker, boy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, dead for him to go out, that's a lot.
Absolutely.
And when he's there, just being very honest, you know, Reggie doesn't play much. Or even if he does play, his role is not the same as what it is with him being out. So a championship team is when a nigga could really be next man up and he come and really in and show what Reggie Jackson did yesterday.
Yep, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And even like with the Rooks, I mean, they ain't played much yesterday, but like Julian Schroeder is having a hell of a fucking season.
Early. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it also goes to show that they have now created a culture.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. A
culture of belief in youth, but also a culture of development.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because Julian Schroeder, he could be on, like, you even go looking at Houston right now. Like, I don't know why Cam Whitmore got sent down to the G League.
Me either.
After the guy just had a fucking insane summer league in preseason, why is he in a G League?
I don't know what they're seeing in practice that we're not seeing on the court. But I mean, hey, that's whatever.
But we're not gonna dive deep into that. But that goes back to your point earlier about, you know, people who can call it what they want. There's a lot of political shit that happens.
Absolutely.
In every sport. Don't let me take
it. Yeah, it ain't just basketball. Yeah, 100%.
Every sport.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But
you see dudes hanging around or not hanging around, you got to ask yourself, like, why is this
going on?
Why he ain't there? And it's like, okay, yeah. You know what I mean?
But
shout out to the Nuggets, though, man. Because like you said, I'm in total agreement with that. That they built a culture, you know, shout out to the coaching staff. Shout out to the players on the team. Because Reggie Jackson doesn't get that confidence by just being in the bubble by himself.
He gets that
confidence by, you know, Jokic empowering him, Michael Porter Jr. Empowering him, Eric Gordon. Everybody's saying, "Yo, bro, we trust you. Check the shot. Fuck it.
It
is what it is. Fuck it. We got you." You know what I'm saying? Like, but just step up. Just do the job. Don't be shook. And he's a vet as well. You know what I mean? So shout out to Reggie Jackson, man. Shout out to them. Let's get to this Jason Kidd thing, right? Kyrie Irving said that, you know, during their loss to the Raptors, 127 to 116, that game where Siakam had 31 and 12. Oh my God, he went crazy.
He's a dog.
You know, OG Anunoby, 26 and 5. Luka had 31 and 7. Kyrie, 22 and 5. You know what I mean? Typical game you expect from those guys, but you know, they end up losing. And Kyrie said basically J Kidd called them soft. Now I text you about this. I sent you the rundown and all that. You had something to say. Like, let's talk about it. Let's speak about this. J. Kidd,
I mean,
how you feel about J. Kidd calling his Mavs team soft after that performance?
Well, I had looked further to it. It was a little bit context. He said that they were soft in the paint, right?
Yeah, which
I understand because they allowed 72 points. You know what I mean? Which is a lot of points.
A lot of damn points.
But, you know, I mean, I got a lot of opinions of J. Kidd as a coach. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like, for me, it's like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes he honestly just says shit. And I'm like, bro, like, because, I mean, my thing is too, right? Like, I guess the Kyrie point, what he's trying to say too is like, Kyrie's like, you know, if you get called out by your coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cool, whatever. But it's also too, like, I feel like when you make certain quotes, it has to be consistent. You know what I mean? Because, like, let's stop acting like Dallas has always been his defensive juggernaut. Like, as if y'all just have to shut down. Like, y'all outscoring everybody.
Yeah.
Two, like I said, it has to be consistent because there was no issue when y'all lost. I mean, when before y'all lost, pardon.
Yeah, yeah.
When y'all was 6-1. I mean, they only 6-2 now, so it's only a second loss. But like,
yeah, yeah, ain't nothing crazy. Yeah.
Like, I've been seeing niggas like Pop, Nick Nurse, all of them still black. We won, but we da da da.
Yeah.
Like, when Kid, the thing I don't like about Jason Kidd is like, whenever it feels like something's not going his way, he more so throw his team under the bus. I don't find his comments to be motivated. I find them to be on some shit like, well, nigga, they was the ones playing, which, you know what I mean, could be the case in a lot of things, but you also orchestrating too, family, so it's like, and be realistic about your personnel too, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're out there with a rookie center, whom I love, which we spoke about.
We talked about that, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Derek Lively.
Yeah, yeah.
He's one of the top, actually, players in field goal percentage this season already, but you don't have that rim protection. You don't have that interior bully.
Yeah.
You don't have it. You know what I'm saying? So you also have to be realistic with what you got and your expectations.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you just don't have the paint force right now. You just don't. You know what I'm saying? So,
right. But
like I said, it can't be a thing of when one thing goes wrong and it's all these niggas' ass. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all.
That's not the way you build the culture up, man. That's not the way you. That's not the way you build up trust in these players either, because it's like when you start to say shit like that, like, oh, man, yeah, we were so. It's like, yo, dog, I get it, but there's a way that you can speak about your team
absolutely without
publicly, right, without shitting on niggas and making them feel like, damn, like what I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like you can get it. You can get in front of the camera and say, yo, tonight, you know what I mean? Yo, we just gotta be better. You know what I'm saying? There's some things I saw that we need to work on, but I like what I seen from the young guys. I see the improvement, but it's some things we could work on, whatever. Right. But to just be like that is like. I mean, I guess, and it's whatever, you know what I mean? Because if the Mavs fuck around and win a championship this year, we're gonna go back to this quote and be like, oh wow, he's such a great motivator.
Right,
so
right.
Winning cures everything, but just in the moment, it's like,
right,
what are we doing, bro? Like, what are we talking about? Like, who in the NBA is known? The whole NBA out of these teams is known for just defensive juggernaut. These games is 128-130 every night, bro. Like, let's like, cut the shit.
And that's why I said it's like, again, it's context is everything, because we're not going to sit here and act like you have these dominant nights where you dominate the paint defensively. Y'all niggas go over on everybody parlays every game. So let's stop acting like you just have this defensive ass team, bro. Like, y'all literally can just, like, it's fucking Luka the Don, bro.
Yeah, like,
come on. You got Kyrie next to him. They literally couldn't combine for 80 points.
Yeah,
and if the rest of the team gets in it, you talk about 140 points.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, come on, my nigga.
You're not getting no stops.
You knew what you was getting into. You know what I'm saying? You knew what you was getting into before that.
Right.
Shit, man. Yo, speaking of knowing what you're getting into, boy, that boy Wimby.
Yeah, man.
That boy the real deal, man. I mean, I know we're probably gonna say this shit 100,000 more times this season. But when you just look at Wimby, you look at like his build.
His
IQ, his attitude. He was in the game, and it was, I think it was Dennis Schroeder or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And Dennis Schroeder tried to help him up, and he was like, "No, I'm good, and I don't need your help. I'm straight. Fuck out of here.
Yeah,
I like it because a lot of people got questions about these players coming over, you know, from overseas, and are they tough enough? Do they got the heart? Can they play in the NBA game? Can they do the American?
Right.
Yeah, because he's still a very confident, very disciplined basketball player, and if you just look at his averages. Just look at his averages. He's averaging almost, let's call it 19 points a game. Let's call it 9 rebounds a game, 2 blocks, and 2 assists a game. We're talking about what have they played so far? What is the games that they played so far? Let me see.
They played the Knicks. They played the Suns twice.
In 8 games.
Yeah.
8 games. He's averaging this in 29 minutes, bro. He's a very, you know, and I want to say he's shooting something like 44% from the field, something like that, which you would expect to, you know, over time to get a lot better by me because he's right there at the rim and, you know,
shit like that. I got an interesting take on him, though, ironically, because I do think, like, especially yesterday, I think yesterday against the Knicks showcased a lot of my concerns from the beginning in terms of his strength, you know what I mean? Which is, again, I'm not one of them people like, he's still averaging fucking 19-9, and he's 19 years old. You know what I mean? And it's like he's gonna gain the weight. I'm just saying, even looking back at somebody like Giannis, he was the same weight too.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And at some point, he just honestly has to get his weight up. I think Mitchell Robinson purposely showed him yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Weight room.
But ironically, I also think even with him needing the weight gain, that he needs to hit the paint more. He falls in love with the three a lot, which I understand because he can shoot the shit. But he's also not really shooting it at a high efficient clip like that.
Right.
It's not like it's something that he can be dependent on if he's getting fucked up too much in the paint. But he needs to actually put those ball on the floor skills to use. You know what I'm saying? And get to those little shots that he can do off the dribble rather than stick outside the paint a lot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because even like now, again, he's put on weight now even more so himself too. But like Puzinga too at the beginning, he became very exterior based. So you know, now we're looking at the same thing with Wimby, but again, like he's fucking already basically averaging 20 and 10 if you want to round it off.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
It's like it's only should be up from here.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. And
you know what I mean?
I think that like I said, we 8 games into his career. You know what I mean? So like what we see from him right now, we're impressed by it. It's only gonna get better because he's going to add the weight because I guarantee that coaching staff over there is going to let him know that, all right, so the dribbling and shit is cool.
Yeah.
Because you can do it. But because you're so tall and because the ball got to go, you know what I'm saying? We're going to need you to just go right down there. So he's going to get that just by, like you said, Mitchell Robinson showing him weight room. He's going to get tired of niggas being like, yo, I got one down here. Boom, bang. You know what I mean? 2-3 times and then you get a bucket on him or you get him off his spot, you get him off his square on defense, he's going to add that weight just off his confidence alone. Like, just him being like, nah, niggas ain't about to keep playing with me. Fuck all that. You know what I'm saying? And when he does that, it's probably going to be over with for the entire NBA.
Yeah, it's cursed.
Like, real shit. It's going to be cursed because, he can do anything he wants to do right now. He's blocking shots. I don't give a fuck. I don't care how late he is to recover. He still has a chance to block your shot, even if he's running 10 minutes late to work. He could block your shot, bro. Like, that's a fact. I don't give a fuck. I don't care where you pull that shot from. You know what I'm saying? So, he got that on his side. You know, the height is on his side. I think his confidence, his approach to the game is good. Man, this kid is fucking great. This kid is somebody who I want my son to watch. Nice. I want my son to watch him and be a fan of him and be like, yo.
That's the best way to put it. He's talented, bro. Like,
very talented, bro. He's good. And I like his attitude, man. Like,
I was about to say that the mental was there already.
Man, like, he's fucking good, bro.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? I like Wimby a lot. We're going to talk about Wimby a lot this year. I'm going to keep it 100 with you. But we are in November, Just. We're in November. I know it's almost turkey time and all that for those that don't participate. It's almost Thanksgiving, but we coming up on Christmas, my brother.
Yo.
Every year we look at the Christmas schedule for the NBA. Who do we want to see on this Christmas slate? Let's do like 4 games. Let's do 4 games. What matchups do we want to see in the NBA? And if you want, I can start. I got a matchup right here. Obviously, this is probably the easy pick because this has turned into a mini little fake rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see the Knicks and the Hawks for sure.
Okay.
I just want to see it. The way Knicks fans talk shit about Trae Young and the way Trae Young talk about his time in the Garden, I just want to see it. I have to. I don't give a fuck about records. I don't give a fuck about none of that. I need to see that.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to see, and it's going to sound crazy saying this, you know, this team getting a Christmas game, but I want to see the Spurs and I want to see the Nuggets. I want to see the Spurs and Nuggets on Christmas. I would watch that game. I would stay up late for that game. I know I'm going to be twisted off the spike eggnog and all that. You know what I'm saying? But I want to see that game. There's a part of me that wants to see the Clippers and the Sixers kind of just on some – just on some funny shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just to kind of see what's going on. In the fourth matchup, I don't know. I struggled with this one for a minute. I did struggle with it for a minute, but I want to see the Celtics and the Lakers. Fuck it. Why not?
That's tough.
It's a classic rivalry. I just want to see
rivalry.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I just want to see that kind of, you know what I mean? I want to see games that I think that I would be personally interested in seeing. I think all four of those matchups, I wouldn't miss either one of them. Any of those games that I just named off, I wouldn't miss any of those games.
So for me, I'm going to start off with a young team for an early game. I want to see two young teams get after it because I know that they're going to be excited to play on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And I know that that's going to be a game where they set the tone for the whole day.
Yeah.
I want to see OKC versus Minnesota.
Ooh. I like OKC on Christmas.
OKC, Minnesota.
I like that.
I want to do top of the East, top of the West. I want to see Denver versus Philly because they both just playing out of control right now.
Yeah.
And those matchups, I want to see Maxey versus Murray, Kentucky versus Kentucky.
Yeah.
I want to see Embiid versus Joker for MVP versus MVP.
Yeah, I like that. I'm not mad at that.
I want to see Boston playing out of their mind right now, too. I truly wouldn't mind a Boston versus Lakers game even.
Yeah, I like that. I just like that just for the spirit of it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'll take that. A fourth one, I'll toss up in the air. But I want to see something a little different, actually. I want to see Sacramento versus Milwaukee.
That's not a bad matchup.
No, I mean,
that's not a bad matchup at all.
They don't really cross your heads like that. You know what
I'm saying? Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? And it'll be Dame, you know what I mean, going back home to Cali. I want it to be in Sacramento.
In Sacramento, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that should make – I think games like that makes Giannis raise his game to another level.
Yeah. Dame back for the NBA's home. Money, they might make that a Milwaukee game if they did play just for their
– Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? But for what we're talking about right now, I'm definitely not mad at that. I'm not mad at them being in Sacramento.
That's my fault. We got to post that to Twitter and see.
And see what people – yeah, no, I like that. You know I like that. I like
both slates.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. Like, if we had to just, like, agree on, like, picking four from that, I would take the OKC
Mini.
I would take that.
I'm not mad at the trade at the Garden, bro.
I would still take trade at the Garden. I will also take the Spurs. I mean, not the Spurs. The Sixers and the Clippers. I still want to see that game. Just like I said, just on some funny shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a toss up for that last game. Like, it really don't matter for that. I think those are both two great slates again. The Celtics and the Lakers. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at either one of those being a lineup. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, those are some great fucking games to tune into on Christmas, dog. Like, either one of those slates will work. You know what I mean? I'm with it. I'm with it 100%, man. But yeah, man. Listen, dog. Been another great episode, man. Another fun episode, man. The Shot Clock Show, man. Listen, we here. You know, like we said at the top of the show, man, follow us on Twitter at Mariano on Twitter, 2 N's 2 O's. I'm out here. My brother Just.
My guy.
Yeah, you already know what it is, man. Listen, dog. Follow the Barber's Chair Network. You know what I mean? Tune into everything that we got going on at the Barber's Chair Net on Twitter. We here, man. You know, and again, sure. if you haven't signed up for the Patreon just yet.
I don't know what you're waiting for.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're waiting for. Like I said, man, you waiting for somebody to hit you back on the money they sent you and all that's cool, man. We get it 100%. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, man. Shout out to the guys, man. You know what I'm saying? Till next time, man, we out.
My God. I kill a beat with no hesitation. I kill a beat with no hesitation. Only thing I know is hard work, dedication. That boy flow sick and it beat the medication. It's kings at this table, you can't make a reservation. Who you know doing better? Hopping on.